Welcome to another episode of Plugged Into Safety, the podcast that answers real-world questions about electrical safety in the workplace and helps listeners plug into their very own outlet for knowledge and expertise. Now let's join eHazard's own Brian McCauley and Derek Vigstel as they explore the answers that keep us plugged into safety.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to episode number 3. And again, we are joined by our expert, Derek Vigstel. So we're very happy to have him. Derek, I know you're traveling this week in beautiful Columbia, South Carolina. Is that correct?
I am down here in South Carolina. It's been a while since I've been down to South Carolina, although we were down in Myrtle Beach this summer on vacation. But it's been a little while since I've actually had to come down here and do some work. So it feels good to get back down in this area.
Well, go Gamecocks, right? At least while you're in that city.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, hey, on episode number 3, I think one of the things we really wanted to spend some time today speaking about is electrical audits. And I'll tell you one thing I've noticed since COVID has kind of let down a little bit. Workforce is coming back. Facilities are getting back up and running to full speed. I've seen a lot of customers come our way asking for information on electrical audits. And quite honestly, we've been on site and worked with a lot of customers with these audits. So I think it's a great place to start in people understanding maybe what those needs are in the workplace. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I've had the pleasure of being able to get out and do a couple of these audits since I came over to eHazard. Now, getting out and walking through a facility and taking a look at what they're doing good, what they maybe need some help on, and looking at where some of the training that has been delivered is being effective, it can be a really good way for an employer to make sure the electrical safety program is running efficiently and make sure that they're avoiding any sort of pitfalls on the electrical safety front.
Yeah, that's great. If you don't mind, just for our listeners, talk a little bit more about that benefit and that value for doing the electrical audit, because I know there's a lot there and so much that maybe customers may not realize everything that comes with it, right?
Yeah, so... and 70E compliance audit really is, it's driven by the fact that 70E requires we run audits, right? The whole point of electrical safety is to make sure we are continuously improving. One way we do that is to audit our procedures and policies and programs. So the 70E compliance audit really takes a look at coming in, getting a snapshot of where we are today, the procedures, policies, programs that are in place, how effective are they in protecting workers and providing that workplace free from known and recognized hazards that OSHA requires. So we kind of take that snapshot, we shadow some people, we take a look at what they're doing, and we're measuring our observations against what the requirements of 70E are the entire time we're there. You know, so I'm walking around, I feel like, you know, used to pick on the clipboard crew a little bit when I was working in the field, but now I am the clipboard crew. I'm walking around with my iPad and my stylus checking boxes to make sure that we're complying with 70E. But we take a look at what 70E requires from a work practice standpoint, a training standpoint, an electrical safety standpoint. If you got an arc flash study done, we'll start looking at the arc flash study. And it really just takes a look holistically at what the health of electrical safety in a facility is at that given point in time.
I love that. And if you wouldn't mind, because I know with this industry, this electrical industry that we work in, we work in many different verticals, right? So it could be a refinery, it could be a hospital, it could be a manufacturing facility. All of these facilities can benefit from an electrical audit, right? Regardless of what they
Absolutely. Do. Yeah. And like, for instance, I just came from a mining installation. I did an audit last week in a mining installation. And And it's crazy. You get to come in and you see all this stuff. And I think the audit's a really good standpoint, especially if somebody's in the, they're taking a look at the fact that maybe they need to make some improvements to their electrical safety program. Hopefully, heaven forbid, they just hopefully didn't have a near miss or somebody get injured or something like that, that is driving this, and they're on the proactive side of things. But an audit's a really good starting point, because we get to come in and we look and we see, it's this independent third party that comes in and takes a look to say, what's really working good? What are we doing right? What are some things we can improve on? Where are some things that we can identify potential areas for human error? You know, one of the things I kind of try and keep my finger on the pulse of personally when I do an audit is, where's the flavor of the workers? Where's their head at? You know, I want to make sure that if as a workforce, we're not sitting there in a mind space that puts us at odds with management, because that is a recipe for disaster when it comes to implementing an electrical safety program. So really taking a look at where the morale of the workers are, what's their mentality of what these requirements are that they have to follow, and is it something that could lead to a situation where people start to say, you know what, well, all these safety rules are just stupid, I'm going to do it anyways, and they go out and they make a mistake and somebody gets hurt. And that's what we're trying to avoid. The audit can identify those pitfalls before they happen.
Love that. Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, you know, the NFPA 70E audit that we do. But speaking of NFPA 70, and maybe speak a little bit to whether this is a compliance or not. Some people have asked me that question over the years. Is it actually a compliance that I do this? How would you answer that?
Well, okay. So now the standards geek in me gets to come out a little bit and play.
Here we go.
You know, but that's okay. So 70E is a voluntary standard. OSHA, obviously OSHA is the law of the land. OSHA is what we have to follow. That's the mandate coming down from the government saying, this is what you have to do. 70E is one method to comply with it, right? So when we try and apply that to the audit, you know, I always like to say that 70E is a good starting point. 70E is not the be-all, end-all. It's not necessarily even what I would call best practice for compliance with OSHA, okay? But it is one way. It is a method to, if you follow this set of rules within 70E, you know, that 35 pages of 70E that are actual requirements, if you follow those rules, you know, you should be relatively well within compliance of what OSHA requires. Okay. I always like to sprinkle in a little bit of recommendations from the train of thought of what's Derek's best practice kind of thing, and give some recommendations, because if I see something that can be done either in a way that makes it simpler, and you know, simple is always better, because you keep it simple and people don't argue with it. They don't push back on it. They just, if it's simple, it's easy to understand, they're going to jump out and they're going to want to comply with that requirement. And so I like to make recommendations along those lines if I see the opportunity. And not everything in 70E is super simple. Sometimes the waters are a little muddy in 70E. But we use 70E as the basis. That's our starting point. And it really is, as an industry, that's the starting point for safe electrical work practices in the workplace, right? And so it's not necessarily that you have to comply with 70E. You're complying with OSHA. We're using 70E as the basis for that, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
I think you put that very, very well, Derek. And one thing I really respect and appreciate you is how many years you have with customers and everything that you've seen over the years. So if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
Because I know you've done a lot of these audits over the years. You've seen a lot of things within customers. So of course, without revealing any customer names or anything, but can you give us one of the audits that you were very thankful that you conducted? One of the things you pointed out to a customer that probably prevented a very serious incident from happening?
Well, yeah, it's hard to point to any one thing necessarily. You know what? I really like from when I really appreciate the opportunity. I really appreciate the opportunity to go out and audit anybody, because I you know, that's, to be honest, like I said, I used to make fun of the clipboard crew, but I made fun of the clipboard crew because, you know what, deep down in my heart, I was the clipboard crew all along. But going out and performing an audit for a customer it's almost like if I was meant to do a certain task, this would be it. And it's going in there and taking that snapshot. And actually, I mean, if think about it, my prior lifetime, I was a home inspector before going to teach at the JATC in Minneapolis. A compliance audit isn't all that far out of alignment with the home inspection, right? It's a snapshot in time, taking a look at exactly what the health of the systems are at that given moment. It's hard to pinpoint one exact moment where I was really appreciative of it, but what I really enjoy, and here's where I get the most enjoyment out of going out and doing a compliance audit, is when I walk on site and it's a customer that knows they want to be safe from electrical hazards, because it's the law and they have to do that, but B, because they really care about their workers, but they just need some help and they need somebody to come in and say, are we doing this right? And to have that kind of hands-on interaction to be able to help a company really mold their approach towards keeping their workers safe and ensuring that their workers get to go home at the end of the day with all 10 digits on their hands and feet, right? I mean, that's we all want to go. That's the goal of everybody. We all want to go home the same way we came to work in the morning, and that's in one piece and alive, right? Nobody has a job to give their life to it, and there's no job on the planet worth giving our lives for it. Necessarily, at least in the electrical industry. And to be able to be a part of helping a company craft their strategy to make sure their employees get to go home to their families at the end of the day. How could you not love that?
Yeah, I think that was very well said. I mean, if there's one thing you can do to help a customer or a company try to keep all of their employees safe from an electrical safety standpoint, an audit is a great starting point because you can pinpoint some of the major concerns within that organization. You can prioritize how you're going to address those, which obviously you can sit down and have that conversation with them. But boy, that's just a great start for them. You get out of the gate strong, right?
Well, right. And I really like coming out of that audit with a sort of corrective action plan, right? So take a look at the places where we've identified maybe some shortcomings and really drive home the fact that here's the five areas you really want to focus on going forward. You know, we're going to find little things that, you know, extension cords draped across the floor, you know, these are a trip hazard and things like that. And keep in mind, I obviously focus mainly on electrical safety requirements, but, you know, if I see something, I say something. So if, you know, there's cords draped across the floor and other hazards, slips, trips, falls kind of stuff, I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, but the main focus is the electrical safety standpoint. And that's really what I'm there to drive home is here's the health of your electrical safety program today. Here's where we need to make some improvements. And let's come up with a plan of action and a course of action going forward so we can implement that strategy and keep your people safe and get them home at the end of the day. That's sure. What it's all about.
Sure. Well, customers ask me all the time in the simplest terms, how do I get compliant? And I always say the ArcFlash study, you got to have PPE, you got to have an electrical safety program, got to have electrical training. But honestly, it should start almost with the audit, right? Because that'll highlight all of those items and so much more.
Right.
So back to you really quick, because I know for our listeners at home, and we're kind of getting to the end here, but do you have any final comments in regards to the electrical audits for our listeners?
Do them. That's the biggest piece of advice I could give is take the time and, you know, a lot of times, and it's electrical safety sometimes gets the same level of attention as the electrical equipment gets. And sometimes we set it and forget it. So we draft the best well-intentioned program, and we don't necessarily always understand the fact that we need to give it some TLC on a regular basis. And so there's a lot of companies out there that have put rules and requirements and procedures in place, built that electrical safety program, rolled it out, and then sort of set it and forget it. And, you know, they don't really know if something's festering right underneath the surface. I've a couple audits I've been on have identified the fact that the rules that were put in place just simply are not realistic or creating this mentality among the workers to where there's a very real possibility that somebody's just going to say, screw it and do it. And that's a dangerous situation. And had they not had the audit performed, they may not have known that. They may not have realized that until they're all standing around after their buddy got hurt going, how could this have been prevented?
Yeah. And then it's too late at that point.
Right. Right. Yeah. So the biggest thing with audits is let's get it on the calendar. Let's get it done. Let's get it, get some stuff out in the open so that, you know, we can admit where we need improvement. We can pat ourselves on the back for the things we are doing right. And then we can come up with a plan of action going forward and make this electrical safety stuff stick. That's the biggest thing. Make it stick.
I love it. So Derek, back to you. Just want to thank you for your time, and hopefully you have safe travels in beautiful Columbia, South Carolina, sir.
Yeah. Well, just fingers crossed. I don't have any delays in getting home here. We have some kids stuff going on this weekend, so I want to make sure I get home tomorrow night after I get done with the training. But fingers crossed, everything's been going good so far on this trip. So we're going to put good juju out into the universe that it continues to go so well for me. So
knocking on wood right now for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on the podcast again, Brian. It's a pleasure to do these as always, and I look forward to the next episode.
Awesome. Sounds good. So all our listeners at home, stay tuned for episode number 4. So feel free to chime in and join us for it. We'll be focusing on electrical safety plans, electrical safety programs, policies, a lot of good information we expect to come from that podcast in that episode. So look forward to having you guys for our next episode. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of eHazards Plugged into Safety with Brian and Derek. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and give us a review to let us know how we are doing. Also, let us know what you want to hear about in the comments or send your requests to podcasts@e-hazard.com. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to having you join us for future episodes where eHazard keeps you plugged into safety.